And good evening, whenever or wherever you're watching or listening. This is the Osmo NHL DFS Strategy Show, and I am your host, Michael Clifford, aka Slim Cliffy. Joining me for the next hour in between his trips to the Bang Energy Fountain in his front yard, our single entry assassin, Mr. Joshua Harris. Josh, how you doing this morning, bud?
What's up, everybody? We're doing good. Actually, I woke up earlier than I anticipated because I had to finish up some stuff. So I'm more awake than I normally am on a Saturday morning. So I'm ready to take a couple L's this morning on some of the stuff I said yesterday, but that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, that is the nature of the beast. Yeah, Josh does write some MMA betting articles here at Osmo. So if you're into MMA or if you're into betting, just head on over to osmo.com, check out his MMA article. Yeah, I didn't do well last night. I was telling you before the show, I went one lineup and I was choosing between Seattle 1 and Calgary 1 or Seattle 1 and Winnipeg 1. And boy, I chose wrong last night. Yeah, Winnipeg went absolutely nuclear last night. 8-1 was the final or something like that. Mark Scheifele had 4 points. Blake Wheeler had the 3-point bonus. Nikolai Ehlers had a couple goals. Neil Pionk had a good night. You really need, you know, 5-game slate. When a team scores 8 goals, you're generally going to need them. You absolutely needed Winnipeg Jets last night. And some of our subscribers had a good night. I saw using them. I saw Jetty 30 took down second in the 20 max. And Hoprow took down the $40 I saw. He had 3 lineups in the top 5. I'm assuming he had that elsewhere as well. So great nights for Jetty and Hoffbrow here at Osmo. Bad night for myself. What did you think of that Winnipeg game? Because, you know, it was a game that we talked about yesterday quite a bit, you know, that the Devils back-to-back on the road, 5-8 games and all that, playing their backup goalie. You know, Winnipeg, it generally isn't a good 5-on-5 team, but I think, you know, last night kind of shows the upside that, you know, they do have when things go well.
Yeah. So wrong about that, but like the thing is that like that let me sleep at night. I would have never been on the Scheifele Wheeler line, especially Wheeler. Like he just comes along for the ride at this point. I probably would have been on the Pierre-Luc Dubois line. But man, the Devils just looked like they wanted to go home, which is what you said. And I'm just like, I'm fading them anyway. And I got crushed within the first 5 minutes. And then, you know, Scheifele had a night. Is never going to be a good night for me, but if you guys like playing that line, congrats. I'm serious. That wasn't like a backhanded compliment. Like if you got there, good job. I don't know. It's not a bad bias. It's just like, it's kind of like the same thing with the Rangers. Like last night I played the Rangers top line probably for the first time since the beginning of the season. And it's not because like, I don't want to be a homer. It's just because they've been so bad 5-on-5. And if you watched any of the game last night, you know they were awful 5-on-5. So that's kind of why I don't play the Winnipeg top line, is just because they haven't been great 5-on-5. They, you know, they were kind of reliant on the power play. But I guess a 5-8 Devils team back to back on the road will cure all your ailments.
Yeah, especially Jonathan Bernier. Like he had a great season last year. He looked like he had absolutely no interest being in net last night. Like absolutely none. Like not tracking the puck. Anytime it even crossed the blue line, it looked like they just wanted to go straight time and just get the hell out of there. So yeah, they got their brains beat in. Vegas, you know, kind of expected, went into Arizona, laid the wood. Max Pacioretty had a couple goals. Shea Theodore, he was a guy that we talked down a little bit yesterday because of his ice time, but he went out, had himself a decent game, 2 assists with 3 shots. But he played under 20 minutes, and that's the concern here is, you know, Shea Theodore, pretty good defenseman for 6,400 when he's playing 23, 24 minutes a night. When he's down to 20, that's when I start to get concerned whether he's putting up a couple assists or not.
Yeah, his ice time, if it's consistently over 20, that's when you start playing him. He kind of has been on a roller coaster of ice time recently, so he looks like, you know, How many minutes did he get yesterday?
19.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're going to pay like 6,500 for a player, you need consistent 22, 23, you know? Did you need him? No, but like, he did score a couple assists. So I'm not comfortable playing him when he gets under 20. He needs 22, 23 consistently.
Yeah, I think that applies to almost any defenseman. I really don't care about your role. If you're a defenseman at like 6,300 on DraftKings getting 19 to 20 minutes, I'm almost never going to play you. It's just way too thin.
And Nick Hague has been a shooting machine, and he plays with the top guys. So you could just dump down to him for 3,000 cheaper, get the shot bonus, and go about your day. Tip your top hat and say, ooh-ah.
I see Grade A Flicks saying, Josh, I was heavy Rangers in Vegas last night. Closed the laptop and watched the Suns Warriors. That sounds about right. I closed my laptop, went and watched Wheel of Time. I think some other people might have closed their laptops and gone to watch a movie. That's just what happens on slates like that. Before we go too much further, if you guys could give us a thumbs up, really helps us here, look good for the bosses. Click that subscribe button to help us grow this channel, keep these shows coming. Make sure you click that bell to get alerts when we do hit the air. And I just want to give a special shout out to Yahoo Fantasy. Of course, they are our sponsor and have been all season long. They have been very good to us. We do have a special for new Yahoo users. We'll talk about it a little bit later on the show, but you can win hundreds of dollars in free stuff from Osmo if you're a new Yahoo user. So just keep it locked here. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. And we have free premium tools and data up on the site. We usually do almost every day, today being no exception. And we have NFL main slate ownership projections. We have NHL player projections for tonight, and we have NBA player rankings. So whether you're playing NFL tomorrow or NBA or NHL tonight, we have our player projections up. And I see Jake in chat. Good morning, Jake, saying that our projections for NHL are live at Osmo right now. So if you are subscribers or not, our projections for NHL are up on the site, and you can follow along as we talk about these games and see which players we're talking about, see where they're ranked, see how they're valued, and so on and so forth. So be sure to check out our free NHL player projections up on the site today. Okay, let's get into this first game. We have a 9-game slate to hit, so we have to do kind of crank these out. Tampa Bay, 2.8 implied goal total going into Boston. The Bruins have a 2.9 implied goal total. Brad Marchand, this is his final game of his suspension, 3-game suspension, so he'll be out again tonight. Presuming Taylor Hall stays on that top line. Should note from Boston, one interesting note is that Nick Foligno finally got pushed down to the third line. So we're not having to deal with Nick Foligno on the second line anymore. Eric Halla was moved up there. I don't know if like Eric Halla to Nick Foligno is like a massive upgrade, but I know Nick Foligno just doesn't bring anything offensively. So I have to imagine Halla at least offensively brings something a little bit more than what he did. We don't have any updates on Matthew Joseph from Tampa Bay, not that I saw, but it would kind of change how I look at this game if he's in tonight, especially with that Boston second line. But what do you like in this game, Josh?
Yeah, it's funny because now Boston's at home and magically their top line price came down like 10% to like 21,000. They were what, like 24 on the road? Oh, well, with Marchand, obviously. Hall's in there, but I don't know. Like, there is a lot to like on this slate. So I don't know if I'm going to be spending, you know, over 21,000 for Boston one, who hasn't done much with Hall up there, going into, you know, a Tampa line, you know, with Stamkos at center, you know, my thoughts on that, like, but he's actually been okay. He hasn't been awful. This game, just like the first, when I was going through the slate last night, you know, taking my notes for the show, just like, I don't want to play this game in 1-3. This is an MME game for me. If you want to play Boston 1, you know, listen, it is what it is. You get, you know, Pasternak, Bergeron, Hall, all on the top power play. Like we mentioned, when Marchand got suspended, Bergeron, Pasternak's numbers with and without Marchand have been pretty stark. And, you know, Taylor Hall is a good player. I know Jake's watching, so I have to say good. He's not a great finisher. He's just kind of what he is at this point in his career. I just, at the price that they're at, I'm going to be underweight, especially 1-3. In MME, you can have a bunch if you like them, you know what I mean? There's just so many other spots on this slate that I would rather play in 1-3. I think I'm going to, for that reason, I'm going to X-Boss one out. But, you know, I completely get an MME. I do like the two-mana Charlie Coyle, Craig Smith, especially if Joseph's out. It's cheap. Craig Smith is still 2,800 for whatever reason. Coyle's only 3,800. They're both on the quote-unquote second power play.
Just real quick, Coyle jumped up to the top power play unit at the end of their last game over Foligno. Oh,
yeah, for Foligno, yeah. That makes sense because Foligno is just absolute dust. But yeah, I mean, you don't – what I was going to say is you don't really have to worry about the second power play time because Boston's top power play sees the majority of the minutes. Yeah. On the power play anyway, so I like the Coyle Smith two-man if you're looking to get in an expensive power play stack. On the Tampa side, I'm probably out on Tampa until, you know, they get some of their players back. It's just hard to full stack anything. If you want to one-off a Palat or a one-off a Sorelli, I think that's fine. But full stacking for me is going to be a no-no for Tampa.
Yeah, I will say, like, the one line I will like Boston two does interest me here. Coyle and Smith two man. You highlighted exactly why they could be a good spot here tonight, especially if Matthew Joseph is out for Tampa. So I won't go too much longer there. It's the Tampa one line that kind of, I won't say it interests me, but 60% scoring chance share in their sample together. That's really good. And the thing that's keeping me away from them is this is obviously not a very good matchup. They're going to go, you know, going into Patrice Bergeron is not what you want on a 9-game slate. But like if I was playing 150, I would probably look to see where Tampa Bay's one is going to be and try to get a little bit over on them here tonight. Because I really do think that top line, especially since Alex Barré-Boulet came back from Seattle, whatever happened there.
The 12 hours he spent in Seattle.
Yeah, he's looked like a good player for them. So I'm probably not going to get there. I think I'm playing three lineups tonight. I don't think I'm going to get the Boston one or Tampa one of my three, but I probably would get there if I was playing 20, certainly if I was 150. So they are what sticks out to me in this game. On the blue line, there's really not a whole lot for me. Brandon Carlo, 2,600 is a guy that's always in play. There's really no one from the Tampa side that I like, unless you want to play like Chernak maybe for 3,200, but that's about it.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there. I don't want to pay 6,300 for McAvoy. I don't really want to play 7,400 for heading on the road. So yeah, I agree. This is Chernak, Carlo, or move on.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of moving on, Colorado, 3.8 implied goal total going into Ottawa. The Sens have a 2.4 implied goal total. We talk about Ottawa all the time on this show, how bad they are, how bad they've been. I'm writing the power plays articles today for osmo.com, and I started it last night. This is what's in the power play article. The Ottawa Senators find themselves last in the league in points behind Arizona. They were at near or worse than the bottom 10 defensively across the board before their COVID shutdown, and in the six games returning, they are at near or worse the bottom 10 defensively across the board. That's both 5-on-5 and on the penalty kill. There's just nothing to worry about from the Ottawa side. Like, I think the worst you could say is that maybe they match up against the second line, and the second line has actually shown some decent defensive numbers at times. But even that doesn't really worry me. The only thing that concerns me for Colorado is the price, because that top line is coming in just under 25,000 combined. And then Cale Makar, I think, is 8,100 or 8,200 or something like that. So really expensive Colorado one, but obviously a great spot. So what do we do here, Josh?
Yeah, I'm loading Colorado one into the lineup builder right now with Makar. So if you put in Colorado one with Makar, you have an average of 3,420 remaining for a full line, a defenseman, and a goalie. Again, if you put the cheapest goalie on the slate, you have like 10,000. You're basically at min price. You're basically going to have to fill it out with min price. So it is impossible to power play stack the Avs tonight because Kadri is also 7,300. So this is an insanely good spot for them, though. So like, I in a vacuum, I love Colorado one tonight. Apparently, I think I'm on Broadway. This is not the time. Colorado won. What can you say? Like, they're fully correlated. McKinnon's back. He got the rust out from, he didn't look too good the last game, but, you know, nothing to worry about from the Senators side. The problem is, like we talked about, is the price. I think, you know, you have to leave Makar off if you full stack Colorado one. If you want to do like McKinnon rant and leave off Landeskog, put in Makar, something like that, I think that's fine. But for me, I would full stack Colorado one. I think, you know, I don't know. Like, maybe I just wouldn't even use a defenseman. I don't think you have to force a defenseman in if you can't fit in a car. If you want to go down to Colorado, too, I think that's perfectly fine as well. Nishushkin, 3,700. Burakovsky, 4,100. You can, you know, do like a little power play two stack. You can put in Devin Toews or Sam Girard there. I think that's a decent way to get lower ownership in a high total game. You don't have to put in Kadri. Kadri, 7,300. Although at that price, I would imagine he comes in a tad overlooked. So if you want to go full Colorado two here, I think that's going to be a fairly low owned stack as a three man. On the Senators side, if you want to have a little bit of that, you know, Norris, Kachuk, Batherson line, I think that's fine in MME 1-3. There's not going to be much for me from the Sens. Maybe a couple guys on the blue line.
Yeah, I'll skip over Colorado one because, you know, there's not a lot to say here. They're super expensive. But they're still projecting very, very well for us. McKinnon, our highest projected center, Rantanen in top three for wingers, along with Ovechkin and Pasternak. Like, they are who they are. It's a great spot. It's just they're very expensive. So if you can find a good filler line, and we're going to talk about filler lines, you know, through the rest of the show, go ahead and use them. But Colorado, too, you know, the defensive numbers, some of them not great, but the offensive numbers, 73 shot attempts per 60 minutes, 32 scoring chances per 60 minutes. Like, those are pretty good numbers. I do like Colorado too a lot here tonight. You mentioned how expensive Kadri is, and that could absolutely keep some people off of them. But the three-man stack is only 15K. That's not that bad. And it, you know, this game started at 3.8. Colorado's up to a 4 implied goal total. This could land at like 4.2 or 4.3 by the time this whole thing's over. So I really do like, just like you said, just full stacking that Colorado second line, really good offensive numbers. And there's no matching concerns here for Ottawa at all, whether 5-on-5, you know, even the penalty kill, their penalty kill is bottom three in the league. Like, in Colorado too, still going to get some secondary power play minutes. So we should also mention this is 3 and 4 nights for Ottawa. Definitely not what you want from them. So like you said, Colorado one is expensive. If you have a filler, I think I would lean two man. I would probably just go McKinnon, Rantanen, and just leave everybody else off. There's just too much salary tied up at the most McKinnon, Rantanen, and Makar. On the Ottawa side, I think we can. I want to say go back to Artem Zub. Like, I'm not playing any of the forwards. The forwards just don't interest me here. If you want to play Batherson, like that full top line, Batherson, Kachuk, Norris. They're reasonably priced, so I have no problem with that. They're coming in, you know, under 15K. So, you know, that top line is cheaper than the Colorado second line. I just don't really like that spot, or, you know, just the way Ottawa's been playing at all. So they're not going to be my 1-3s. I would probably get there in 20 or 150, obviously, just not in 1-3 lineups. On the blue line, I'm probably going to be writing up Nikita Zaitsev for Ottawa. He's been getting more minutes of late, played like 26, I think, in their last game. And he's generally a very high shot blocker when he does get minutes. And he's only 2,600. So I think I like Zaitsev the most. What do you got here?
Yeah, Zub, Zaitsev, if you're Jake, Nick Holden, for some reason. He had a Nick Holden lineup in the 295 the other night that I was ribbing him about. But I'd rather play Zub, Zaitsev. On the Colorado side, I think Girard's okay at 4,200. If you have 5,600 for Devin Toews, I think that's fine as well. I am avoiding the Johnson and Johnson pairing. I just wanted to say that.
Okay, fair enough. I thought we were going to get some joke out of that, but no, we'll just go with that. No, get access to all the great Osmo Plus tools and content for nearly every DFS sport out there with an Osmo Plus weekly pass for $29.95. This includes full access to all the premium content and tools on osmo.com, including player projections, ownership projections, our premium Discord, our lineup builder, and a whole lot more. If you're a new user of Osmo Plus Platinum, then you can take advantage of the promo code we have for this show, which is NHL Strategy Show, all caps, all one word, NHL Strategy Show, for 25% off your first week of Osmo Plus Platinum. You can find the link to activate this coupon in the description of the video below. And of course, if you're only looking to play NHL DFS, you can sign up for our Osmo Plus NHL package for as low as $3.95 a week. Stop guessing, start winning, join Osmo Plus today. That's NHL Strategy Show, all caps, all one word, 25% off your first week of Osmo Plus Platinum for new users. All right, this next game, 2.9 implied goal total for the Islanders. They're going into Detroit. The Red Wings have a 2.8 implied goal total. Of course, Tyler Bertuzzi remains out for Detroit. He's on the COVID list. That means Robbie Fabry likely to stay on the top line for the Red Wings. As for the Islanders, not expecting any massive line changes, but as with the Islanders, and we've seen over the last, you know, 7 weeks or whatever, expect just about anything from this team. So what do you like here, Josh?
The Islanders are just a mess. I to put it lightly, I don't know if I'm going to full stack anything on the Islanders. You know, Barzal's price has come down to 5,900, but he's playing with Josh Bailey. It just doesn't do too much for me. You know, Zach Parise in the top six in 2021 is quite a scene. I'm probably going to be out on the Islanders. I know it's Detroit. I'm not going to full stack anything. You know, I may have like a Barzal Lee or, you know, like a one-off Bevilier, something like that, but full stacking the Islanders on this slate is just going to be a no for me. On the Detroit side, I like that top line. Fabry is a bit of a downgrade from Bertuzzi, but, you know, they still fully correlate. Fabry is usually about half the price of what Bertuzzi would be, so you get a discount there. And I see Zadina's back with Suter, so I do really like that too, man. It's only 5,500 for the two of them. Like, if you're looking to get in the Bostons of the world, the Colorados of the world, that's your spot right there. Suter, Zadina. So this game, not much that I'm super excited about. You know, a couple one-offs on the Islanders. I do like Detroit one. I don't know if I'm going to get to them in 1-3, but they're definitely an MME line. I do really like that. Two men or even full stacking with Valena there, because that full line is like 8K.
Yeah. The thing with the Islanders is they're bad, and they haven't gotten better as the season's gone on. And I kind of want to play the top line here tonight for the Islanders, because I think Bertuzzi's a fairly sizable loss defensively on that top line, right? Like Dylan Larkin, he can't carry a line defensively by himself. You know, he's good, but he's not Patrice Bergeron. He's not in that mold, right? Lucas Raymond, he's still a rookie. He's only played 20 games in the NHL. He's 19 years old. Sorry. Turned 20, I think. And Robbie Fabry is just not a good defensive player. He's very, very good with the puck. He's just not good defensively. So I think this could be a good spot for the Islanders top line. It's just, you know, the Red Wings tend to send out Rasmussen at times against top lines. And the Islanders top line over the last month, 47% shot share, 42% of the scoring chances. They're allowing almost 40 scoring chances against per 60 minutes the last month. Like, this top line is just getting absolutely bulldozered every time they're getting on the ice. So as much as I want to play the Islanders here, I have to agree with you and go to Detroit and go to the top line, go with cheap Fabry, go with, you know, a cheap top line, perfectly correlated on the power play. You know, it's not as if this is a bad matchup for Detroit. Like you said, the Islanders have been bad defensively all year. Like, still around the bottom five, bottom 10 in across all categories defensively at 5-on-5 over the last month. So, yeah, nothing for the Islanders for me. Like, I want to play their defensemen, but I even went and looked at the defenseman ice time, and they're just completely spreading out the ice time. I think every single defenseman except for one last game was between 18 and 21 minutes. And the other guy was at like 16. So like, what are you going to do? Just guess, pick a name out of a hat. You know what I mean? So like, honestly, nothing for me from the Islanders. There's nothing that interests me. Detroit one interests me the most. Obviously Detroit two. If you want to sneak in your super expensive Colorados or Torontos or whatever. On the blue line, like I said, with the Islanders, pick a name out of a hat. I don't even care about them anymore. about the with the Red Wings, obviously correlate Cedar if you want. Anything else stick out to you there?
Chronic 3,400. I like, that's about it. Danny DeKeyser's price kind of made me raise an eyebrow a little bit, but I think I'd rather play Chronic than Danny DeKeyser.
Yeah, me too. Just anytime I put Danny DeKeyser in my lineup over the last 2 or 3 years, it just feels like a mistake, right?
Yeah, it just feels awful clicking him in.
Let's get to this next game. Columbus, 2.6 implied goal total going into Washington. The Caps have a 3.6 implied goal total. Could be some. We're doing this show. It is 9:30 in the morning Eastern. It is before warm-ups and morning skates and before, you know, some reporters even get to the rink and all that. So we just don't have the information right now. But yesterday, Nicholas Backstrom, TJ Oshie, and Connor Sheary all skated full contact, full practice and everything for the Washington Capitals. Now, Oshie hasn't played in like a month. Backstrom, I don't think, has played all year, and Sheary's been a few weeks at least. So maybe they need more than one full complete practice to get back in. But I could also see Nicholas Backstrom saying, like, you know, I've missed almost 2 months of the season. Get me back in the lineup now. You know what I mean? So I don't know how this is going to shake out just yet. The super high total would tell me that maybe they're expecting some reinforcements tonight. Like, I can't imagine, you know, Lars Eller 2C with a 3.6 implied goal total at home. Maybe it will be. We'll see. What do you think about this game, Josh?
Yeah, man, this Capitals are frustrating for DFS. But, you know, if Sheary and Oshie are back and they're both on, you know, the power play on the second line, they're 7K for the two of them. You know what I mean? Like, that's just way too cheap having a good matchup here. You know, you want to go to the Ovechkin-Kuznetsov two-man. That's really expensive. That's 16.7 for the two of them, which is, you know, Ovechkin is 9,600 tonight. You know, if you fade him, he's going to, you know, hit the hat trick on the empty net. If you play him, he's going to have, like, 3 shots on goal and an assist. That's how my luck has been with Ovechkin. The Capitals are frustrating, but I think this is a good spot for them. The one thing that, you know, normally when I talk about the Caps, it's like, oh, let's power play stack them. The Columbus Blue Jackets don't take many penalties. So I think if you're going to use the Capitals tonight, you're going to full stack some lines here. If Backstrom, Oshie, and Sheary are back, and that's the second line, I think that one's going to interest me more than Kuznetsov, Ovechkin, just from a price standpoint. You know, you want to use that top line. I think that's fine. You know, the big thing here for me is actually seeing – lines and seeing who's going to be playing, who's going to be in and out, because that's going to make a big difference for me, because I don't really want to power play stack them tonight. I want to full stack a line. So, you know, as much as I can talk about which line I want to use right now, I need to know who's going to be in and out tonight before I give any concrete advice. On the Columbus side, I don't mind that top line. I just don't know if tonight you really need to get there. In MME, I think you can have a little bit, but, you know, I'll wait for a better matchup at home for Columbus before I start using Jenner Bjorkstrand again.
See, Columbus one is kind of interesting to me if Backstrom does play tonight, because, you know, maybe Backstrom has a little rusty, a little slow, you know, hasn't played a hockey game since what, last May? Like, that's 7 months ago now. You know, if that happens, and, you know, Backstrom's back, he's going to get the top line match from Columbus. You know, maybe I could see Columbus one in that match, because it is a somewhat cheap night for Columbus one. 13,600 is fairly cheap, and it's not like it wouldn't be a terrible matchup, right? So, and I imagine they're going to come in at very low ownership as well. So, I think Columbus one is interesting for me here. I just have to see, like, honestly, I'd rather Backstrom be back for this game and play Columbus one. If Backstrom's out, I think I would probably stay away from them, because I want to take advantage of him having not played a game in so long. So I do like Columbus one here tonight. It's because you can almost treat them as a filler. That's the problem with me here tonight. It's not like they're a 16K line where you have to match them with another 16 or 17K line. they're a filler stack just about where you can fit in with Toronto, or you can fit in with Nashville, or you can fit in with Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah, Borgstrand's price came down like 2K in the past.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's kind of attracting me here. If like, if Bjorkstrand was still 7,100 and, you know, Jenner was 62 or something like that, and Nyquist was 35, I'd, you know, pass, move along. I think this line should be $3,000 more expensive than it is the problem here. So like, I do like Columbus one on the road. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say, if you feel nervous about it, don't play them, because it could be a tough spot. I just think that, you know, the top line, 62 shot attempts per 60 minutes, 3 expected goals per 60 minutes. They've been scoring as well. I do like the Columbus top line in this game. Washington, I'm with you. I just can't say anything until we know exactly what their lineup is going to be. So, you know, other than power play stacking for now, or not power play stacking for now, I would say, you know, stacking even strength is the way to go. But I just don't have more information about that team right now. On the blue line, what do you got for us?
I mean, on the Columbus side, there's a bunch of cheap guys you can play here. Jake Bean, Gavrikov, Bockquist, pick your boy and put him in. On the Washington side, not much, really. Like, I don't want to pay $6,700 for Carlson as a one-off. If you want to put him in with Ovechkin, I think that's fine. But, like, Carlson's season has been a bit wonky. So, I don't know if I want to pay up for Carlson. So, not much on the what team is this? The Capitals side for defenseman. Whoa, had a moment.
We have partnered with Yahoo Fantasy this NHL season to bring you some great offers. Check out our exclusive limited time offer, which gets you one free month of Osmo Plus Platinum. To qualify, you need to be new to Yahoo, sign up for an account via the link below, deposit and play. That's it. Yahoo will send us your name after you play in your first paid contest, and we will reach out via email with your coupon. If you need immediate access, email support@osmo.com and we'll get you set up. You can also claim a free $10 of site credit by clicking the link in the video description below, which can be used to enter any Yahoo contest, including Sunday's $1 million NFL baller. Make sure to use our DFS tools and projections designed specifically for Yahoo to give yourself the best shot at winning big. So first time users, check out that deal we have with Osmo. You get a free month of Osmo Plus Platinum, so you can get our free premium tools and data to help you out as you begin your DFS journey. All right, let's move this along. Montreal, 2.7 implied goal total. They're going into Nashville. The Predators have a 3.5 implied goal total. Couple notes for the Habs here. Jeff Petrie looks like he's shutting her down for a little while. It seems obvious now that in hindsight that he was playing injured. He looks like he's done. Montreal also expected to welcome back Mike Hoffman. Mike Hoffman was skating on the power play units yesterday, but they didn't do any 5-on-5 skating. So of course, as we sit here right now, we don't have lines, and they did change up their lines. I mean, completely just dynamited their lines in that last game against Colorado when they got beat at home. So I honestly couldn't even tell you a two-man stack to go with from the Habs at this point. So I don't know what we're going to do here on that side. I think it seems pretty obvious what we might do on the Nashville side, though.
Yeah, like welcoming Mike Hoffman back might help them on the power play, but it doesn't do anything defensively. So, like, it doesn't really change my opinion on Nashville. Nashville 1 is one of my favorite spots of the night. They're only 17-8 to full stack. I want to see ownership. We talked about ownership yesterday. Like, not a huge deal. I just don't want them to be, like, 30%. On this slate. I don't think they will be, but fully correlated, you know, that line has just been, you know, we talked about it. We got in before, you know, the Nashville one rush with the Forsberg for 4 goals. They're not going to be sneaky tonight. Like, I know that. It's just a matter of if they're like 15% or like 25%, just, you know, check out the ownership, but I really do like them tonight. The second line, you know, if you need a really cheap two-man again, like if you're trying to jam in Colorado and you want some lower-owned guys in a high total, Ely Tolvanen, Luke Cunning, two-man. 5,700. Like, not my favorite, but like, beggars can't be choosers when you're trying to jam in Colorado. You know what I mean? You just need to find two guys on the same line that can score in a good matchup. And, you know, those are your two. If you want to play Rijo, please stop scoring, Rijo, for the love of God. But yeah, Nashville won for me. On Montreal's side, like, even if we had concrete lines, I don't think I'd be on them tonight. So I don't mind a Mike Hoffman one-off 3,200 on the power play. I think it's fine. But, you know, this team fired the GM. They said the coach is going to make it through the season just because, you know, they're tanking and they want a good draft pick. But, like, this team's a mess. They're going to be, you know, rebuilding, I would imagine. So Hoffman went off is okay. Like, if I see some lines, there's a combination that I like that is going to get a good matchup in the bottom six, maybe. But, like, we just don't have that information right now.
Yeah, I just like Nashville one a lot. 65 shot attempts per 60 minutes, 32 scoring chances per 60 minutes of 5-on-5, controlling 57% of the scoring chance share. Like, they're just a very dominant line. There's no line that Montreal can put together that could contain them. So I just, you know, especially with, I'd say Jeff Petrio, but obviously he was hurting the team. So maybe him getting replaced actually might help. The thing that concerns me about Nashville's top line is it seems like they're getting inconsistent minutes. I look at their game logs last five games, 15, 16, 17, 19, 20. You know, 19, 20 would be nice. 15, 16 wouldn't be, you know what I mean? So, like, that's, but I think one of those 15 or 16 games was when that Philip Forsberg had that four goal game. So maybe it was just a blowout.
I would like on the counter argument to that is, like, Boston's top line has the same minute concerns sometimes. Would you rather pay 17-8 for 17 minutes, or do you rather pay 21-9 for 17 minutes?
Yeah, that's a good point too. Yeah. I suppose that's kind of it's built into the pricing, right? Like, yeah, they're not a 20K line. That is a good point. So, hey, maybe they just go out flat out, start playing 20 minutes a night. You know, that could happen.
They also don't need 20 minutes against this Montreal team, I don't think.
But, yeah, if they need 20 minutes a night, something's gone horribly wrong. Yeah. But the other thing is, Montreal takes their fair share of penalties and has a bottom 10 penalty kill as well. So it's not as if this is just a good 5-on-5 matchup. It's good on the power play. And, like, Nashville takes their fair share of penalties as well. So I think, you know, even Mike Hoffman one-off makes sense in this game. You know, get him back in his first game for the Habs. I imagine he won't carry very much ownership. He's all the way down to 3,200. It seems like a perfect one-off for me in this game. Any defensemen stick out to you in this one, besides obviously Roman Josi?
Not really. Honestly, not really. There's just nothing there.
Yeah, I honestly, Roman Josi is one of my favorite defense plays on the slate, even at his price. Just, you know, load in Roman Josi. And Josh, you know, you can send that money over for me saying that now.
Yeah, yeah. Jake, you know, I'll send you my Ethereum address. You could just drop in the bonus.
Yeah. Especially the way ETH is going this morning as well. Toronto, 3.1 implied goal total going into Minnesota. The Wild have a 3.1 implied goal total as well. Here's an interesting thing I noticed looking through the Minnesota stats last night. Their shutdown line hasn't been as good as it has in recent seasons. Like, the Foligno, Eriksson, and Greenway shutdown line in recent seasons was like 1.3 goals against, like 45 shot attempts allowed per 60 minutes. This season, those numbers have gone up and they're closer to like 52 shot attempts against, 2.2 expected goals against per 60 minutes. And they're underwater by expected goal share and shot share. So, like, they're not the lockdown, shutdown, defensive stalwarts they were. Now, is it a blip because it's only been like 70 or 80 minutes of ice time as opposed to the hundreds of minutes they've had in the past? It very well could be. But it is a concern because, you know, we're not just talking about like some crappy Islanders line coming in tonight. This is Austin Matthews and John Tavares and Willie Nylander. You know, Billy and the boys are in town tonight looking to lay some wood on the Wild. So I think that kind of takes me towards Toronto's side here, especially a 3.1 total tied for the highest on the road for any team tonight. So what do you see here, Josh?
Yeah, Joel Eriksson, that got a taste of goal scoring. He's like, ah, F defense. You know what I mean? Who knows if it's a blip? I would assume like maybe they get a little bit better, but you know, Matthews has looked really good recently. You know my thoughts on Marner, but like Marner, 8100 Marner is an absolute no. 6800 Marner is an interesting for me. It's getting into that price range where if he, you know, Wenbergs himself to a 3-assist game, he'll pay off at his price. You know,
we should say one thing about Marner. He got drilled in practice by Muzzin and left practice yesterday. So he might be out tonight, might not be. We'll see.
Yeah, Muzzin, I hope you got my check. But if not, you know, get in contact with me. But, you know, 6,800 Marner is not too bad. Like, that line's under 20K. And I think it's a good contrarian option because – there's a lot to like on the slate and people are just going to be like, oh, they're going against the checking line in Minnesota. I'm out, you know? And if their ownership is coming in under 10% or something like that, I don't know how low it would have to be for, you know, you to be like, ooh, this is a good Matthews spot. But listen, I kind of like Matthews here. I like the Tavares Nylander two man. I also really like the Minnesota top line here tonight. Like their numbers are just out of bounds. Like, it's just insane. Like, Kaprizov, like, saved Hartman's career, I think. Like, even though he just signed, like, a three-year deal. Those two numbers, those two together, their numbers are absolutely insane. I like them tonight. You know, Jack Campbell has had a very, very good season, and that does worry me a little bit, but those numbers are just too good to ignore. I do really like Minnesota's top line tonight. I like the Leafs' top six, Minnesota. Top line. Don't mind a Fiala one off. Just, you know, get the boy some line mates for the love of God.
Yeah, get him some line mates, please. To your point about Minnesota one and their numbers together this year, they're power play numbers. They honestly are power play numbers. 91 shot attempts per 60 minutes. 5.4 expected goals. Like, those are legitimately power play numbers and not a bad power play, like an average one. Yeah,
not the Coyotes power play.
Yeah, not the Coyotes. Like, we're looking at, you know, maybe like a Columbus power play or something like that here. Obviously, those numbers are going to come down, but it just speaks to the talent and the chemistry that those three players have together. It's just that Toronto's a pretty good defensive team, and it doesn't matter really if it's the second or the third line. They're still good defensively. So I have no problem really playing Minnesota one here tonight. I really don't. It's just that they are fairly expensive. And like at that price, you know, Carolina one is roughly the same price. Pittsburgh one is roughly the same price. Nashville is much cheaper. You know what I mean? Like Boston's about $1,500 more expensive or something. So I just think there are other top lines other than that Minnesota line that I can go to. But if people want to play them, go right ahead. What I have written up in the Power Plays article is John Tavares in that second line for Toronto. One, because they are going to avoid the shutdown line for Minnesota, you know, presuming that they are a shutdown line. And two, Minnesota takes a lot of penalties, like second or third most in the league. While Toronto has a really, really good power play, top five in the NHL over the last month. And John Tavares has more scoring chances on the power play than any other Toronto player over the last month. And it's because he's the shooter. He's the focal point in the middle of the power play. Believe it or not, I don't know why, but it's not Austin Matthews. It's John Tavares.
And every time Tavares scores on the power play, like, Matthews is never involved. Like, I've been looking at that, and it's just the weirdest thing.
I think it's just the way that they're set up. They can't get the passes from Matthews to Tavares for the one-timers. They have to go down low first. So, you know, Matthews sometimes gets taken out. So I like Toronto too here tonight. On the blue line, not a whole lot sticking out for me. Goligoski, 3,300. Goligoski and Muzzin, 33 and 3,100 respectively on each side. That's about it for me. What about you?
Same. Using that Minnesota top line, you know, Brodin is fine at 5,200. He's getting into that price point where it's a little bit tricky. That's really about it.
Yep. Good enough for me. All right. Next game. We're going to get into it in a second because we're going to talk about Odd Shopper first. Odd Shopper is changing the way you approach sports betting. Shopping to find the best line available is always important, but Odd Shopper allows you to find your best bet in 30 seconds or less through its powerful filtering mechanism. Odd Shopper quickly delivers bets that you want to make right to your fingertips. Click the link in the description of this video to head on over to Odd Shopper and check out its innovative e-commerce inspired platform right now. There are hundreds of bets available to make all updated in real time. Even better, Odd Shopper is now has expected win percentage and return on investment included for NFL and NBA player props, which are derived straight from Osmo's DFS projections. So you can now find the best edges betting player props. It's 100% free. No sign up required. There's no reason to not at least give it a look. So take a look at Odd Shopper over at Osmo.com. All right, next game. Buffalo going into Carolina. This is probably going to be the chalkiest spot on the entire slate, but I think Buffalo 2.3 implied goal total going into Carolina. Carolina is at 3.9 implied goal total. Carolina also completely blew up their lines. Top line is Sebastian Aho with Tuukka Teravainen and Nino Niederreiter. Second line, Vincent Trocheck with Andrei Svechnikov and Seth Jarvis, and then down from there. I'm going to be writing up Tuukka Teravainen for my Power Plays article today. Believe it or not, his shot rate, especially over the last few weeks to a month, is really, really, really good. And now he's back up on the top line with Aho, top power play unit as well. But they're obviously going to carry a lot of ownership, Josh. So how are you handling this game?
Yeah, I see in the lineup builder that Malcolm Subban may start tonight too. Malcolm Subban.
He's not very good, guys. In case anybody didn't pick that up, he's not very good.
He is not very good. Like, I'd rather it be Dustin Tokarski or Aaron Dell, but like, Malcolm Subban, not very good. I like that top line, Aho, Teravainen. Like, putting in Nino Niederreiter for 3K is not going to hurt you at all. He's a good player. He will handle himself up there. That second line is nice as well. Even dipping down to that third line is okay. You know what I mean? But like, I want to see ownership. I want to play the line that's going to be lower owned. You know what I mean? Like, Aho Teravainen is fine. Trocheck, Svechnikov with Jarvis, fine. It's just, you know, I think I want to try to find a little bit of leverage in this really high total game. If they're coming in around the same ownership, you know, play the line you like. There's not really a matchup on the Sabres that they're going to worry me. Subban and Net is just insane to me. Like, for as bad as the Sabres goalie is, I didn't think they could get much worse. And then we're popping in with Malcolm Subban. Like,
I mean, nobody's not going to convince me they're not sneak tanking again this year like they did 5 years ago. Remember when they traded all their goalies whenever a goalie would have a good game? I'm convinced this is about what they're doing.
This is an absolute tank. Yeah, they're just, you know. So, yeah, Carolina, I want to see an ownership run. Like, it's really pick whoever you like here. Like, I would imagine Trocheck is going to be a little bit lower owned. Like, the Trocheck Svechnikov is going to be a little bit lower owned than Aho Teravainen. I think both lines are completely fine. You want to, you know, power play stack, sure. On the Sabre side, you want to get to a little bit of that top line in MME. I think that's fine, you know, because they're fully correlated. Carolina takes a ton of penalties. But, you know, other than that, I'm not going to have much on the Sabres.
Yeah, I think if you want to get different for Carolina, something to do is throw in Jacob Slavin. His price has come up a lot to 5,100. And I don't know if he's really worth it, but top power play minutes without Tony DeAngelo in, I think, is fine. Or even just putting in Brady Shea instead, I think is fine as well. Nothing from the Buffalo side for me. The Olofsson line is perfectly correlated on the power play, but like, I don't want to play them hoping they take advantage of Carolina's discipline problem. So nothing for Buffalo for me. I think I would just mix in Slavin or Shea with the top line or second line to try to get a little bit different, because it will be fairly chalky here. We do have to get a little bit of a move on here. Two more games left to get to. Chicago 2.7 implied goal total. They're going into New York. The Rangers have a 3.5 implied goal total. It's one of the highest. I think it's like the third or fourth highest on the slate. So obviously we're going to have to talk about them, but anybody who, you know, anybody who watched that game last night against San Jose, like, this is a team that struggles to generate at 5-on-5. Igor Shesterkin was injured in the third period. They're saying it's not super serious. It looked real bad. They're saying it looks like some sort of like groin injury or whatever. So Georgiev is almost certainly going to be starting. Mika Zibanejad played less than Kevin Rooney last night at 5-on-5. He had the least amount of even strength ice time of any New York Rangers forward. That's unplayable to me. Obviously, Strom Panarin, I think, is in play. But honestly, it's not the Rangers that I like in this game. So why don't you talk about this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm out on that top line. I watched that game yesterday. I aged like 74 years just watching them try to generate 5-on-5 against the Sharks team on a back-to-back on the road. They couldn't do anything. If you want to go to Strom Panarin, I think that's fine. I like going back to that third line. Like, the third line actually looked pretty good. They're generating a whole bunch. They just couldn't, you know, score. But I don't mind going back to Lafreniere, Hedl. I think that third line is fine tonight if you're trying to get in the expensive boys. On the Blackhawks side, Toews, Kane, Hagel, I like them. Listen, Georgiev is nowhere near the goalie Igor is. He's decent. Like, he just, the more playing time he gets, the better he is. Like, I think that's just, you know, how it is with any backup goalie. But, like, you can take advantage of Georgiev tonight. The Rangers had defensive issues. They're back-to-back. You know, Toews Kane is probably going to go pretty overlooked considering how many other expensive spots there are. So if they're fairly low owned, I like them tonight. You want to get even cheaper and go like Doc Strom, I guess that's fine. But for me, like, it's hard for me to play the Blackhawks without Kane.
Yeah, I like Chicago one here tonight. Toews, Kane, Hagel, in their sample together this year, 61 shot attempts per 60 minutes, controlling 51% of the scoring chances. Like, being above 50% on this team, that's a miracle.
This economy?
And the Rangers, you know, we talked about it yesterday. A big reason we don't like going into New York is Igor Shesterkin. That's not a problem here tonight. So Chicago 1 is actually my favorite line out of this game. I don't like either of the Rangers' top six lines. Like, I don't like the Rangers' top line. I would play the Rangers' second line. I agree with you. I think this is the Rangers' third line is my favorite Rangers line in this game. They were the one line that actually looked good for the Rangers yesterday on a consistent basis. They're going to get the absolute joke matchups in the bottom six for Chicago. And they fit in perfectly with your super expensive Colorados or Boston. So they are one of my favorite filler stacks here tonight. That's probably it for me out of this game. Anybody for you on the blue line?
I mean, Gustafsson, Min Price still on power play one. Like, that's, I don't understand, like, yeah, moving Seth Jones off, like, he plays like 30 minutes, might as well just throw him on the power play. But Gustafsson, power play one, Min Price is fine.
Yeah, like that Min Price as well. We're going to be getting out of here pretty soon. If you guys could, before we do, click that subscribe, click the notification bell so you get alerts when we go live. Thank you very much to Yahoo for sponsoring us. Be sure to check out the special deal we have for Yahoo in the link of the description below. And stick around for the NBA strategy show next with Emac and Gundacker, and then the college football live before lock immediately after them. And then we have NFL and MMA and NBA for the rest of the day. MMA, your NBA double dose starting at 6 Eastern, a little bit later than most days today. So we've got you covered for the rest of the day here at Osmo. Last game, Pittsburgh, 3.1 implied goal total going into Vancouver. Vancouver has a 2.6 implied goal total. We don't have any Vancouver lines because they completely mixed up their lines in the last game. Vasily Podkolzin was playing with JT Miller. Justin Dowling and Nils Höglander were playing with Elias Pettersson. Alex Chiasson was still on the top power play unit. Pittsburgh won for me out of this game. That's it.
Yeah, this is the only late game, so we can get a Pitt 1 late hammer. It's still wild to me saying with Evan Rodriguez there, their line has been much better, but it is true. Their numbers are insane, and Crosby has been bad since he's come back. Eventually, he's going to turn it around, you know, issues we've already talked about, but I really do like Pitt 1 tonight. Not much else. Bad teams stay bad for a reason. The Canucks are just a bad team. There's nothing that I like there with the lines how they are. So Pitt one late hammer. That's it out of this game.
Yeah, it's not even a good matchup for Vancouver. Pittsburgh's a pretty good team themselves. So, yeah, out on Vancouver. I don't mind Demko in net, 7,400, good price for Demko. And that leads me to asking you for your hat trick pick and your goalies here tonight. My hat trick pick is Valeri Nichushkin, and my goalies are Thatcher Demko and Juuse Saros. Who you got?
Yeah, I like those goalies as well. I also don't mind Jack Campbell, surprisingly. That feels weird coming out of my mouth. But my hat trick pick is going to be Evan Rodriguez.
There we go. Evan Rodriguez, Valeri Nichushkin are your two hat trick picks for tonight. We're getting out of here. For Tyler Zander, for Josh Harris, I'm Michael Clifford saying good luck tonight, everybody, and we'll be back next week.